In recent decades, improved screening and treatment has resulted in more people living years past their initial cancer diagnosis. Unfortunately, those years are sometimes marked by side effects and toxicities from either the illness itself or the treatments. Dr. Karen Mushtian, Assistant Professor of Radiation Oncology and Director of the University of Rochester Medical Center Peak Lab, says these symptoms can be acute during the illness or chronic, lasting for weeks, months, even years after chemotherapy or radiation treatments are completed.
And then you have something that we term a late effect, which typically we haven't historically seen a lot of because we didn't have the survival rates that we have today. But as we see individuals who are fortunate enough to survive 5, 10, 15, or 20 years after their diagnosis and treatment for their cancer, we see that there are toxicities and side effects that can develop 7 or 10 years later. For example, certain types of cardiac toxicities, other types of things that we see, and those are called late effects.
Cancer survivors often feel overwhelmed by fatigue.
Oftentimes, people think that fatigue is all mental and that if you just think differently, you'll feel differently. That's sort of a very outdated way of thinking. There's probably, with a construct like fatigue, there are probably things interacting in terms of neurogenesis, changes in the blood-brain barrier, which may in fact end up influencing something that we would consider sort of the mental aspects of fatigue, like your ability to focus on something, your ability, you're just kind of tired of, I hear people say, I've worked my brain so much and I'm tired. It's a different kind of fatigue than if someone says, I'm physically exhausted, I can't pick up that bag or walk up the steps. But there's this very complex interplay in the human body. So it's not one or the other. And in fact, it's all acting simultaneously at the same time.
Other patients report pain, anxiety, and trouble sleeping, and something researchers call lack of function.
And in some of the most severe cases, which are many more than you might think, particularly for older cancer survivors, that loss of function leads to a decreased ability to do typical activities of daily living. Get up, walk out to your car, get your newspaper, go to the grocery store, buy your groceries, pick up the bags, bring them back in the house, unload them, get yourself dressed. These sort of vital things that we need to do in order to maintain our independence.
But Dr. Mushtian's research has repeatedly proven that a well-designed exercise program involving anything from yoga and tai chi to walking and resistance training can do wonders for cancer survivors who experience these problems.
It actually can help condition both your heart and your lungs, for example. It can condition your muscles and help maintain your strength so you don't get as weak. It can help maintain flexibility, for example. And if done regularly for, more extended periods of time, more than just a couple weeks, you can see changes in body composition, which can lead to maintenance of lean muscle mass, which can be very important for prostate cancer patients, for example, on hormone therapy, or reduction in fat mass, which can be very important, for example, for breast cancer survivors who are experiencing increased obesity as a result of some of their treatments, hormonal treatments in particular.
A couple of things to keep in mind as you start. It's important to work with a certified exercise professional who can assess your level of fitness and any impairments that may mean certain routines are not recommended. Secondly, be sure to choose those types of physical activity you find most fun and interesting.
So when I counsel individuals on choosing forms of exercise, the first thing I always ask them is, what do you like to do? Do you like to be inside? Do you like to be outside? If you're an outside person, and then I would encourage you to do that. And in a place like Rochester, New York, you may think it's impossible to exercise in the winter with all the snow, but we have plenty of people who snowshoe and snow ski, and they just get out and walk and play in the snow. So there's possibilities year round.
If yoga piques your interest, Dr. Mushtin says you should make sure you find the right type of yoga class.
There may be some classes that focus mostly on meditation, and they do not incorporate any type of postures or movements. And vice versa, you may attend a class that's all about the posture and the movement, where you do not really get any instruction in terms of the proper breathing that you should be doing, what your intentional focus should be, or the mindfulness skills that should be taught in conjunction with those movements and postures. Across the board, the yoga interventions that have been studied to date incorporate all three of those components. So if you're going to look for a class, for example, in yoga or even Tai Chi, which involves the same three components of movement, breathing, and mindfulness, you want to look for a class that has all three of those components, not just a meditation class or just the movement class without the other components, because you know, that's what the evidence is telling us at this point seems to be working.
Some forms of yoga involve exercising in an overheated room, but the research to date does not recommend these for cancer survivors overcoming side effects from treatments. All in all, if you remain dedicated to your carefully selected and monitored exercise program, you stand a good chance of maintaining better health and more peace of mind.